Okay, praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians. Talking about gifts of the Spirit. Gifts of the Spirit. What would you say a gift is? Y'all feel like somebody just popped you and let the air out of you. Come on. Let's get excited. What's a gift? Something given, right? So a gift of the Spirit would be something the Holy Spirit gives you. And at the end of that, it says he gives as he wills. So, Ben, you can't get hacked off when Troy gets a gift that you don't get. And Troy can't get hacked off when you get a gift that he don't get. And it says ask for the gifts, doesn't it? You have not because you ask not. And some of us don't even know what the gifts of the Spirit are, so we don't know what to ask for, right? I'm sure all y'all know. But if you don't, you need to read this section right here we're reading and know what the gifts of the Spirit are. And I will be lacking in none. I will ask for every one of them. And if I don't have them, I'll ask again, and I'll ask again, and I'll ask again. Is that wrong? No. God loves hunger. He feeds the hungry. He feeds those who ask. You have not. Is that Bible? Is that spiritual foundation? Praise God. Anyway, we're not going to talk about gifts of the Spirit, but I did want to look. Let's see. The manifestation, verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. I probably didn't even tell you what chapter to go to. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your word. I thank you for life in your word. I thank you, God, that you manifest your presence here today. I thank you, Lord, when we form a prayer line here in a few minutes, God, that the power of God's going to come. I thank you, Lord, when there's an altar call given, those who don't know you will come quickly to the altar and repent, God, in Jesus' name. God, we thank you, God, that you will move mightily. We thank you, Lord, that you send your revival fire that you've already sent, God. We thank you for the worship. We thank you for the praise. We thank you for what you've done. We thank you for what you're about to do, Jesus. The gifts of the Spirit, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for what? The profit of all. Praise God. If you got the gift of prophecy, it's to profit the whole body. Yes, it profits you. Yes, it profits those around you, but it's to profit the church, Ben. Missy, it's to profit the church. Oh, no, no, I'm just trying to include you. In Jesus' name. Sheila, it's to profit you. It's to make you drunk when you need to get drunk. It's to fill you up when you need to be filled up. They've been drunk for weeks. It's amazing. Yes. And I don't mean on alcohol. If y'all aren't familiar with Pentecostal stuff, be ye, yeah, don't be drunk on wine, but be ye filled with the Spirit. But we like that because that's kind of, anyway, given for the profit of all, for to one is given what? The word of wisdom. That's a good gift, right? Through the Spirit, to another, the word of knowledge. That's good. That's an awesome gift. That's great for witnessing. That's great for calling people out and building up faith. To another, faith. Gift of faith is awesome. To another, gifts of healings. Awesome. Cancer goes, right? Praise God. Stomachs are healed that all the insides are blown out the back. Awesome. Can't happen. Can't happen. Did y'all really get it when she told us that? They had him set up to die, didn't they? Didn't they say there's nothing we can do for him, just make him comfortable? Well, that's true. There was nothing they could do for him. To another, the working of miracles. Yeah. Working of miracles. to another prophecy, to another the discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues. How many of y'all got them? Let's hear them. Anybody got an interpretation of any of that? Sometimes that happens. We should be more open to that. You know, that's timidity, Jenny, that keeps people from answering that sometimes. Because I know many times that God has an interpretation and the person it's given to doesn't rise up because they're, what if I'm wrong? Really, and I think.
Well, this morning when I was up.
Wait a minute, I want all this on tape.
Well, just to go along with that, when I was up here before I got that word, I was praying in tongues. There was just a lot of tongues coming. And then after I finished the tongues, I was hearing timid. People are timid. They're dealing with timidity. They've got a spirit of fear. And so I feel like that was the interpretation of what the Lord was given to me in the other language. I didn't know what I was praying. Then he gave me the understanding to release it to the body. So I felt like that right there was one example.
Interpretation. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad you shared that because I think lots of people, ignorant, people that are not ignorant, but they've been taught wrong. And when they hear tongues, they go, "Womp! What no interpretation? You're out of order, brother. You're out of order, sister." Well, I think when you hear Sarah up here, and she's and then she'll sing something or she'll say something. Yes. Mary Smith's a prime example. Every time she prays in the Spirit, pretty soon she's going to say something, but she's almost got to, like, get her motor running. Yeah. No, really, before she can. So interpretation happens. I'm glad you said that because we see an interpretation happen all the time. Just because somebody doesn't get up and say, "I have an interpretation." I mean, that's fine because sometimes it's so raw that you know there's an interpretation. But anyway, tongues, all that's good. But the one I wanted to look at, and just for a second because we're going to move on, but was the gift of discernment. And we don't think much about discernment, but discernment and discerning of spirits is a powerful gift. What's discerning mean? Does anybody have to discern something? What would you say that means to you?
Know
its source. What was that? It's knowing whether it's from God or it's from the evil one. It's like you said, the source. So, friend or foe, yeah, that's awesome. And how many people do you know that really have, I mean, in the world, as you watch TV, as you watch political, how many really you feel like has discernment? So that's what I want to talk about for just a minute, is discernment. Go to Revelation. Chapter 12. I'm glad you asked that. You tell everybody, you get online, tell everybody Pastor Mark's going to preach off a tractor next Sunday. That is a sign and a wonder. You hear me? Yes, the harvest. It's no accident that we've been given this tractor right at harvest time. In the physical and the spiritual, especially the spiritual, God. Y'all got it? 12 verse 7. War broke out in heaven. Whoa! Michael and his angels fought with the dragon. What's that? Puff the magic dragon? What were they fighting with? The devil, he's got all kinds of names and none of them are edifying, are they? And the dragon and his angels. What would the angels be?
Demons.
Fallen angels. They fought, but they did not prevail. And no place was found for them in heaven any longer. They got bounced out of heaven. So the great dragon, who's the great dragon? Again, Satan, he's the chief. He's King Kong. He's on the top of the scum heap. Really, he is. He's the big cheese, man. The great dragon was cast out, that serpent. Listen, serpent, dragon, serpent of old. Called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come for the accuser. What's that? Another word for who? Satan, another word for Satan, the accuser of our brethren, who accused them, who our brethren, before our God, day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath. Why? Because he knows that he has a short time. Amen. The devil, the accuser, the dragon, the serpent, the evil one, you can give me some more names. Abaddon, Apollyon, the destroyer. I'm trying to think of a nice name he's got. The deceiver. Beelzebub. Lord of the flies is what that means.
The negative one.
We'll take that. Angel of light. So he comes as a deceiver. And the very elect would be deceived by his plans if they did not. If the time was not shortened, the very elect would even be deceived. So, he's pretty deceptive, right? But it says here, Liar. Yes, the liar and the father of what?
Lies.
All lies from the devil. Every lie. The father of lies. What caused man to fall? Well, his own choice, but it was a lie, wasn't it? Did the Lord really say that if you eat off this tree?
Yep.
But when somebody that powerful is confronting you, you go, well, I don't know. Maybe he didn't really say exactly that. So we don't need to be deceived. But the point I wanted to bring out here was the devil discerns the times. Listen, the devil discerns the times. The devil discerns the times. The devil knows where America is at right now. The devil knows where you're at right now. The devil knows that the decisions you make right now are pivotal in what happens in the kingdom of God in this great battle. Jesus wins. Jesus wins. There's no... This battle is not going to determine whether Jesus wins or not. This battle is going to determine who's going into the kingdom of God and who's not going into the kingdom of God. Which nation's going to rise, which nation's going to fall. These are all battles that haven't... You say, well, God knows. Yeah, God knows. But God changes his mind because how many of y'all know God changes his mind? You go, how could he? If he don't, it'd be foolish to pray, wouldn't it? What's that called when predestination? Well, there's no, in fact, is it Calvinism? See, I'm not good on my church history. Is it Calvinism that believes that you really, there's no point in witnessing to people and stuff because it's already determined whether they're going to go to hell or not. So really, that takes the pressure off you. But if you think about it, why did Jesus say, go into all the world and preach the gospel? Why would he say that if it was foolishness? So anyway, if you're a Calvinist, I love you. You probably won't be here after today anyway. I'm not a Calvinist, whatever that is. The devil discerns the times. Say it, the devil. Satan discerns the times. Come on, say it. You need to say it so you can hear it out of your own mouth. The devil discerns the times. Sarah, if you were the devil and you were discerning devil, where do you think you'd say you were at right now if your time was short? When was this written? When was Revelations written? A couple thousand plus years ago? So he said the enemy knows that his time is short. How much shorter does he know it is now? Because it said, the shorter the time gets, the greater his wrath gets, Mary. The greater his wrath gets against the church, the greater his wrath gets against Jesus. What were you going to say?
Well, the persecution.
The persecution, exactly. Did you know there's more you know there's more people killed for the name of Jesus today than there was in the Roman Empire when lions and tigers, and they had, what do you call it? Yeah, I was going to say it, but I did. Coliseum, gladiators, and yeah, I forget how many are dying every day now. It's incredible amount of people are dying for the Lord every day now. So his wrath has been loosed, and it's going to get stronger. It's not going to get better. It's going to get stronger. His wrath. And why is that? Why is that? Does anybody have an idea in the physical why it might be getting stronger and more powerful and more pointed?
Because it's so short a time that it's got to get more powerful for people to come to worship Satan instead of Jesus. It's really getting bad.
It really is getting evil. I mean, it really is. But the good news is revival. The good news is revival. But the time is getting short, and I always compare it. How many of y'all ever watched, some of y'all watch basketball games, college basketball games. And it gets down to the last 2 minutes. And they're wore out. They're almost dead. They're starting to play like maniacs. And you say to yourself, why didn't you act like this back in the first half and we wouldn't be having this issue, you know? No, it's true, isn't it? But you know the time is short. You know there's just a few seconds on the clock. And you know the game is determined by what happens in the next few minutes. And Satan is so deceived that he actually thinks he can win. And he's read the book. He still thinks there's a chance he can win. And look at us. We know we win.
That's right.
But we're not too concerned. Well, let's read some more. See, I told you it's going to be short. I lied. No, I didn't lie to you. Go to Luke 12. I'm going to really moving out. Donna hates it when I go quick because she don't get to finish hers. Y'all got to wait for the kids anyway. Luke 12. Well, by the way, I'm glad, Sean, you're here this morning. See, I never remember her name, but it's a friend that just came to Jesus at a power team, but they're called something else now. Just came to Jesus. Congratulations, brother. We're so glad you're here. No, you go on and do what you need to do. I wasn't picking on you. I just remembered I didn't introduce you. So 12 verse 49. This is Jesus speaking. He said, I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it had already been kindled. But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed that I am till it is accomplished. Do you suppose that I came to give peace on the earth? I tell you, no, not at all, but rather division. For from now on, five in one house will be divided, three against two, two against three. Father will be divided against son and son against father. Mother against daughter and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And this verse 54, then he also said to the multitudes, whenever you see a cloud rising out of the west, immediately you say, a shower is coming. It pretty much works that way where I live too. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, there will be hot weather. And there is. Hypocrites! How powerful is that word? How powerful is that word? Does that just make you want to cringe inside? Does it? I mean, what stirs you up more than anything? To me, when I see somebody that's a hypocrite, when they say one thing and they do something else, it just kind of stirs. It stirred something in Jesus too, didn't it? He said, hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how do you not discern this time? So we got Satan here that discerns the time. He discerns it well, and he gets busy about, he don't get busy about his father work. He is the father of lies. He gets busy about the works of evil and darkness. Hey, Aaron, I love you, man. Glad you're here. Shouldn't the sons be more discerning than the enemy? Shouldn't they? Go. We're going to jump back a couple of verses. Go to verse 35. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master, when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Listen, blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you, he will gird himself and have them sit down and eat, and will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them, blessed are those servants. But know this, if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. Go to Romans 13, you know. It's high time. It's high time. Romans 13, verse 11. And do this. Knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of your sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Well, I thought we got saved when we asked Jesus to come into our life and forgive us our sins. We did get saved. But what's the ultimate salvation? Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. What's the ultimate salvation? The ultimate salvation is when you get to go be with Jesus, isn't it? The ultimate salvation is when Jesus comes and he burns off the pollution of Satan off this earth and he starts all over again and takes charge, right? That's the ultimate salvation. So it's high time, isn't it, to wake out of our sleep. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, Let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and what? Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Let's pray for a minute. No sheda ba kora basita basia. No kora bareshi kara ba kora basira ra ba robo kora bareshi kara ba kora batea. Jesus. 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 Just hold your hands up. Lord Jesus, God, make us aware of the time we live in, God. Let us rightfully discern the times we live in, Jesus. Lord, let me rightfully discern where I'm at in my life. What's next for me? Where I'm going? Where I'm going, Lord? Where I'm going? God, Lord, show me the days are evil. The days are evil, but the time is short. God, give me an urgency. God, whether I've got 2 seconds or 20 years or 30 years or 40 years or 50 years, God, I don't know what we've got left, but boy, it makes it so real, Cindy, when you say, well, I'm 60 years old and we're only promised 70, so I probably don't have, I may not have very much longer left. About 5 years ago, y'all keep your head back. About 5 years ago, the Lord showed me, he said, Mark, son, I'm going to give you 80 good years. He didn't say he was going to strike me dead at 81, but he said, I'm giving you 80 good years. And for about a year or two, it was like, well, yeah. And I'm thinking, okay, it's down to like 17 years now, God. 17 years. If I go back in time, I'd only been driving a car for a year at 17 years old, man. Time goes quick. Discern the time, Mark. Discern that the clock is running down. There's not too much more time to shoot the ball. There's not too much more time to win souls to the kingdom of God. You got to discern the time. Lord Jesus, God. And listen, guys, we can't do it in our own flesh. We cannot do it without revival. We cannot do it without the anointing. So, Lord God, as we come together and pray today, I thank you for a fresh anointing to be imparted. I thank you for what we started this service out with, Sarah, was revival. Revival, revival. Get on up there, young lady, and play something. Y'all get your worship team up there and play something. Start playing us unto the Lord. We're going to pray and we're going to expect God to do things, right? We're going to pray and expect miracles. We're going to pray and expect God to fill us with the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.